All right.
I could see Joe over there. I'll get so excited.
Hey there.
Like, oh boy.
Amen. Amen. You have notes on, they're titled The Tribulation Period? Okay, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Next week, we'll start with our videos and end up in about 8 weeks, we'll be all done. And Joel said, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Ask the Lord to guide and be with us. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the time to study your word. We pray that the Holy Spirit will do what you have already promised he would do. He'll guide us into all truth. He'll bring to our remembrance and bring to our understanding what you have said in your word. We honor, we glorify you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. What makes the tribulation period difficult to understand is our Gentile perspective doesn't quite understand how God dealt with Israel. We read about it, right? We analyze it, but it's difficult to understand because God had a unique way of dealing with his people. Remember last week we mentioned we are adopted. I talked this over with my brother when I talked to him. He went through a period of time that he felt that he wasn't worth a whole lot. I said, my parents didn't get to choose me. They chose you. My parents sat down, analyzed, planned, and took you in. Mom said to Dad one day, I'm pregnant. Well, not much you can do about it now. And I came. And that's the way it is with God's people, the Jews. They are born a Jew. And they don't have a choice in the matter. We had to say yes. Amen? We do not get engrafted into the vine unless we accept the Lord as our Savior. They don't have to accept the Lord as their Savior to be God's people. We do. They're God's people by God's choice. We're God's people because we said yes. Now, yes, God did choose us. He gave us the opportunity to say yes, but we had to say yes, and he did not force us. The Jewish people are God's people because they're born God's people. And he deals with them a little different. Yes?
Good question. So is, and maybe Peter can help on this, but is being Jewish an ethnicity or a religion? So if you are a proselyte and you join the Jewish faith,
you would have to adopt Judaism.
A Jew?
You have to adopt Judaism. It's an ethnicity according to the Word of God.
Right, but I mean, yeah. Between intermarriages or people just joining the Jewish faith, I mean, they become, are their children then Jewish?
If the mother's a Jew, they are.
Well,
if the father's a Gentile, they're not.
But if the mother was not Jewish but becomes a Jew, converts to Judaism.
No, it's not the blood. See,
well,
it's not the flesh.
Ruth was not Jewish.
No, and it never says she was Jewish.
But she married in and her offspring were Jewish.
David was a Jew, correct. Yeah. But it's what I mean to say, there is a vast difference between being born and choice. Now, there are people that become proselytes, yes, but they're not born Jews. They're not flesh and blood Jews. They get to choose. Yes, Peter?
It would probably be better to say, instead of saying Jewish, which is implies religion, to say Israelite.
Yeah, Israelite. Or God's people.
Right.
Yeah.
One is a nationality.
That's good.
From Jacob, Israel.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
12 tribes.
That's good. Yeah. That would be better.
Yeah.
Because Jews implies Judaism, and we know that the majority of the Jews here in the United States are not Orthodox Jews, because we make a difference. We call them Orthodox Jew versus just a regular Jew. So yeah, that would be that. That's a good way to put it. You're an Israelite because you're born an Israelite. You see, Ruth became an Israelite by marriage, but by choice. And God blessed her for it. The same with Hagar. Not Hagar.
Rahab.
Yes. Thank you. The same with Rahab. So that was a difference. So it's difficult for us to understand everything that's associated with the Old Testament. That's why I bought the Complete Works of Josephus. Because it helped me to understand a little better why, for instance, one of the classic examples, why Jesus said, except because of the hardness of your heart, Moses granted a bill of divorcement. And I couldn't understand a bill of divorcement. Because we think of a bill as something we got to pay or something Congress enacts, right? But this was something the high priest emitted because they fulfilled some prerequisites. And so I had to go read Josephus to understand Jewish customs or Israeli customs in marriage in the Old Testament. Not in the New, but in the Old Testament. And then you began to understand. It was difficult to understand the feast at Canaan until I understood that sometimes these Jewish wedding feasts lasted days and weeks, depending on how wealthy they were. You know, if a wedding ceremony and the reception here lasts till the wee hours of the morning, we think it was long. Right? What time did Emily's get done?
It was 5 hours.
Yeah. 5 hours.
Extra hours.
Yeah, 5 hours when a common wedding feast, if you had money like Jacob's and Isaac's, would be weeks. And we find that hard to believe. But when you read the feasts and you read the high Sabbaths, which were days off, you understand it was great to be Jewish and Israeli in the feasts. Because just in the feast of Passover and unleavened bread, you had 3 Sabbaths. 3 days off in 1 week. In 7 days, you had 3 days off. So you worked 4 days. That's great, right? It was wonderful when I got to Colombia because they celebrate everything and anything. And they don't need a high excuse to have a day off. They just proclaim one. And but so when we understand the Old Testament, we understand Israeli customs. I'm going to change my wording. And we understand Israeli custom and Israeli history and how God dealt with them. Then the day of the Lord takes more significance. Let's just read some scriptures on that. Let's see, Debbie, Isaiah 2:12. You don't have these notes?
I didn't bring them.
Oh, I got them.
First time I have ever.
I got them. One.
I didn't bring mine.
I got them.
I won't write on
them. No, you can write on them.
No.
You can write on them. It's no big deal. It's no big deal. You've got them.
Yes, thank you.
You've got them. You've got them. You got them possible? Huh? It just is entitled the tribulation period. It's just titled. See? Well, take that, and if you find them, you find them. If you don't, you don't. Okay. Go ahead, Debbie, and read the 2 passages of Isaiah. Isaiah 2:12 and Isaiah 13:6-9.
For the Lord of hosts has a day against all that is proud and lofty, against all that is lifted up, and it shall be brought low. Wail, for the day of the Lord is near. As destruction from the Almighty it will come. Therefore all hands will be feeble, and every human heart will melt. They will be dismayed. Pangs and agony will seize them. They will be in anguish like a woman in labor. They will look aghast at one another. Their faces will be aflame. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel, with wrath and fierce anger, to make the land a desolation and to destroy its sinners from it.
Wow. Yeah. Let's see. Joel. Read Joel, the two passages in Joel and the one in 1 Thessalonians. Joel for Joel.
Alas for the day, for the day of the Lord is near, and as destruction from the Almighty, it comes. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night.
So, what then is the day of the Lord? The day of the Lord is a day of destruction from the Lord. Now remember, there's a few facts we have to remember when we study the Word of God and God's character. Number one, God never rains His wrath out on the righteous. His wrath and the day of the Lord is reserved for those that will not obey Him. Will not obey Him. That's why Noah was spared. That's why Lot was spared. Because God was raining judgment on the wicked, and they were not wicked. Okay? A little misguided was Lot. That's the reason he was there, right? I think once I realized the city was full of homosexuals, I would have checked out. Right? That's why I only went to San Francisco when I had to, when we lived out there. Because it wasn't a place I wanted to be. I did not want to be with that atmosphere. So it usually identifies events that take place at the end of history. Read Isaiah when you get a chance, 18 through 25. They're closely associated with the phrase in the Word of God, that day. Now, if we want to understand this, we got to understand it's a time when God decides to intervene in history. God decides to make an appearance in man's affairs and do something that is uniquely from Him. It's not something that could occur otherwise. There was no way. We have never had a worldwide flood where every human being has died. Right? We've had tsunamis. We've had floods. Dubai just had one. And weren't they shocked? We've had catastrophes. We've had storms lately that have all been Trump's fault. But we have had disasters, natural disasters, but they can all be explained with science. You can't explain fire and brimstone falling down out of heaven outside of a volcano and destroying just one city in the middle of one valley. Because when a volcano erupts, it rains brimstone and fire and molten rock, but it does it just randomly. It doesn't just select one unique area, right?
Two cities,
Sodom and Gomorrah. But they were twin cities, so it just was in that one area. The rest of the valley was left untouched to such an extent that they can't find where the two cities were located. Now, we know where Pompeii was located, right? Because there's evidence. I can show you pictures of driving north from San Jose, Costa Rica to Managua, Nicaragua, and the volcano that erupted there on the east side of the road, and you can see the rivers of lava. Of course, this happened tens or hundreds of years ago, but you can see where the lava flowed down. It's obvious. There's no obvious to Sodom and Gomorrah. The flood There's very little evidence. That's why people have such a problem with the Word of God. Because they say, flood, nah, that couldn't have happened. Even though they've discovered dinosaurs, full dinosaur in their entire body, entombed in mud. But no, there couldn't have been a flood. So they're unique events where God intervenes in history, and something specifically that you shake your head and you can only say, hand of God. Now, I know today we blame every disaster on God, don't we? Just see if there's a storm and your flight can't take off. And you want to get a refund for the flight or get another flight, and they'll tell you no. That was an act of God, right? So God does this always according to a plan. God never does anything, oh man, I got to do that right now. No, God has a plan. He had a plan before the earth was created. He'll have a plan when this earth is dissolved, as Peter tells us. Okay? Now, a special day, God's will, God's purpose for mankind will be fulfilled in the one that we're talking about now when we talk about the day of the Lord and the tribulation period. It's called the day of the Lord. Now, it's longer than a single day. How long was the flood? 40 days, right? It rained for 40 days and 40 nights. And then it ended.
The flood went for...
Yeah. But the rain was only 40 days and 40 nights. And then it ended. Of course, it took a long time for things to, seep away. Right? Sodom and Gomorrah, how long did that day of the Lord last? It was an instant. It was just that one time. However long it takes, brimstone and fire to burn up two cities. Right? Now, it's used in the Old Testament in numerous places. Ezekiel 13:5 and 30 verse 3, Peter.
You have not gone up to the breaches, into the breaches, and built up a wall for the house of Israel, that it might stand in battle in the day of the Lord. For the day is near, the day of the Lord is near. It will be a day of clouds, a time of doom for the nations.
Yeah, continue reading.
Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Like blackness, there is spread upon the mountains a great and powerful people. Their like has never been before, nor will again after them, never will be again after them through the years of all generations. The Lord utters his voice before his army, for his camp is exceedingly great. He who executes his word is powerful. For the day of the Lord is great and very awesome. Who can endure it? A day of wrath is that day, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness.
You went somewhere else.
Oh, man.
It's two pages.
Well, it all fit.
Page two.
I can't see straight.
You can't see straight? I'm sorry.
I'm old.
Yeah.
That's a good excuse.
Go ahead, Maureen. Go ahead, Maureen.
And I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said, and among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls. Keep going.
Yeah, you read that one more. Okay. And then we'll have Leah read.
Multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision.
Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. Why would you have the day of the Lord? It is darkness and not light, as if a man fled from a lion, and a bear met him or went into the house and lurked and
leaned
his hand against the wall, and a serpent bit him. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light and gloom with no brightness in it?
Read Obadiah.
For the day of the Lord is near upon all the nations. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your deeds shall return on your own head.
Okay, let's see. Jenny, Zephaniah 1:7 and 14, Zechariah 14:1.
Be silent before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is near. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice and consecrated his guest. The great day of the Lord is near, near and hasten fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The mighty man cries aloud there.
Continue.
Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction.
Now, it's interesting. I like what Amos talks about. You think this is going to be easy? He says it's like a lion. You escape from the lion, but a bear meets you. Or you go into the house and you think you're safe and you lean up against the wall and a serpent bites you. There's going to be very little escape. Then the day of the Lord is used in the New Testament as well. I put some verses, but not all. Let's see, Caroline, Acts, read that whole section right straight through to 2 Peter 3:10.
And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed.
Read Revelation, the next part as well, 6:15 through 17, 16, 14.
Then the kings of the earth and the great ones and the generals and the rich and the powerful and everyone, slave and free, hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who was seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand? For they are demonic spirits performing signs who go abroad to the kings of the whole world to assemble them for battle on the great day of God the Almighty.
They seem to have a sense of it's going to happen right away, don't they?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On one hand, it gives you the idea that everybody's going to be involved, and then on the other hand, it gives you the idea that it's everybody's going to see it, and then on the other hand, it gives you the idea that it's going to surprise you. On one side, it says, hey, there's certain signs that are going to happen. Isn't that what he said? Wonders in the heavens above, signs on earth below, blood and fire and vapor and smoke, the sun turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And then he says, it comes as a thief. Well, you don't know when the thief is coming. There's no sign that the thief is going to come, right? Because if there were, he'd kind of be out of luck, wouldn't he? Because you would not let him steal anything, correct? So it's interesting. We have to put the shoes of the apostles on. There's no doubt from their writings that they thought the Lord would come before they died. Right? Now, why did they think that?
Jesus said
so, right? Now, they misinterpreted one major problem that we have with God, And they had it too, because it's a human thing. And that is this little thing that's hard to understand. A day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day with the Lord. Now, what's the simple way to translate that? God lives outside of time. Right? God's not affected by time. God's not affected by time and space. God's not affected by anything that affects us. I heard someone preach one time that that's one of the major problems that he's sure Adam had to deal with, because Adam went from being glorified to being fallen. So nothing mattered to him because he didn't have to sleep. He could sleep, but he didn't have to. He could eat, but he didn't have to. Right? Because he was perfect. He was perfect. So was Eve. We don't know how long they lived in the Garden of Eden. We don't know how long they lasted. We know that when they came out, they lasted a long time. Right? What's 969 years? Would you call that old? I mean, 70? You were saying that 70's old? How's 900? And there was a pile of them that lived over 900. There was a pile of them that lived over 500. See? And so the days for God don't amount to a whole lot. In fact, when he talks to Daniel, and he tells Daniel about the 70 weeks, he calls 7 years 7 days. Yeah, a week is 7 years, 7 days. God doesn't think in terms of time the way we think in terms of time, right? Because he lives outside of it. Hang on, you're going to get to experience it. Won't it be wonderful? We sing that old chorus, won't it be wonderful there, having no burdens to bear, gloriously singing with hearts felt all ringing. Won't it be wonderful there? Yeah, it's going to be unique. And yes, part of meeting Jesus is going to be fantastic. But I kind of get all wrapped up in the idea that I'm not going to be affected by anything that affects me here. Time, space, continuum. I mean, let them produce movies in Hollywood. Like, what was that one? With the DeLorean?
Back to the Future.
Yeah, Back to the Future. Yeah, let them do that. Doesn't matter to me. See? But the day of the Lord was near and it was far. It was difficult for them to understand when it was going to be, because God didn't seem to want to let us know except when he deals with the second coming. Then he lets us know specific times, specific dates, specific time frame, specific events that are going to happen that will indicate this is the day of the Lord. The Antichrist with his armies amassed against Israel and against Jerusalem. We're going to know this is the day of the Lord. This is the end of it all. The end of the millennium. We'll start counting from the time Satan is bound till the time he is loosed, 1,000 years. When he's loosed, we don't know how much time there will be, but there'll be a space of time where he's given time to deceive those that are inhabiting the earth. Many think he will deceive those that were born during the millennial reign of Christ and didn't have a chance to say yes or no, because they were never brought to the valley of decision, because he wasn't around. And they couldn't sin. They couldn't, because he was hogtied. So they have to be given a chance, and they decide to follow him. He deceives them and they attack Jerusalem. Then we know when he sets up the last judgment and he calls everybody before it, we know this is the end of it all. And then, of course, we get to see this earth dissolved. Peter says it will be dissolved. I don't know what's going to happen, but they say atomic bombs can dissolve things. I don't know. I just kind of think God did a job on Sodom and Gomorrah if we don't even have anything about where it was. That struck me as unique. With all the excavation that's been done over there, nobody has found any evidence of Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't know. See? It will be a time of judgment, and it will be time of salvation. Those who accept him, the remnant of Israel, I love it. They're going to say, Jesus is our Messiah, and they're going to be forgiven their sins, they're going to be restored, and they'll see the promise that they were given. God's going to protect them. Remember, God has said that once Israel becomes a nation, she'll never, ever be in danger again. There'll be things that will happen, but she will be protected. And we've seen that in our day and age, have we not? 1967? What was the other one? 70, what was it? 73. We saw it then, and we're seeing it now again. Why? Well, someone said there, my son, he was in Iraq, 2 tours of duty in Iraq. So he doesn't have a positive attitude about the Arabs. He says they're stuck in the dark ages. Well, obviously they are if they can't read the Word of God and understand that that's futility. That's a waste of money. 300 missiles. Waste of money. Right? So let's look, read Isaiah 2, 12 through 17. Whose turn is it? Christy.
Yeah. For the Lord of hosts has a day against all that is proud and lofty, against all that is lifted up, and it shall be brought low. Against the cedars of Lebanon, lofty and lifted up, and against all the oaks of Bashan. Against all the lofty mountains, and against all the uplifted hills. Against every high tower and against every fortified wall, against all the ships of Tarshish and against all the beautiful craft. And the haughtiness of man shall be humbled, and the lofty pride of men shall be brought low, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day.
We know he's talking about the end of it all, right? Because the Bible's very clear. It will be at the end of it all that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father, right? Okay? Deuteronomy 4:30, when you are in tribulation and all these things come upon you in the latter days, you will return to the Lord your God and obey his voice. Did you know that verse was there? That's a great verse, isn't it? Because that tells us what happens in the book of Revelation. And that was a few thousand years before, right? In that day, when you are in tribulation, doesn't say great tribulation, when you are in tribulation and all these things come upon you in the latter days, you will return to the Lord your God and obey his voice. We know they're going to return, right? Right? Jeremiah 30 verse 7, alas, that day is so great, there is none like it. It is a time of distress for Jacob, yet he shall be saved out of it. Read Daniel 12, 1.
That time shall arise Michael, great prince, who has charge of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never been seen since there was a nation till that time. But at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book.
Your people shall be delivered. How do you get your name in the book?
Salvation.
How do you get your name in the book?
Accepting.
You accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Yeah, that's the description, Jenny. But you've got to accept him. And the reason I wanted that terminology is because that's what the Jews will do, Israel will do, after the abomination that maketh desolate. At the 3.5 year period of the tribulation period, when the Antichrist goes into the temple and does something, you know, we can speculate what it is, but Israel will know what it is. Now, there's two things that have to happen before that can happen, right? The temple has to be rebuilt. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. How do you offer something on the altar in the temple if the temple... And we know that the altar will exist because the sacrifice will have been restored. Mm-hmm. And we don't need the sacrifice because Jesus was the Lamb. But if you don't accept Jesus as the Lamb and as the Messiah, then you have to continue sacrificing just like in the Old Testament. Have you ever asked yourself the question, I wonder if they'll find the Ark of the Covenant? And I wonder if there'll be a holies of holies and a holy place? Now, go ahead and think that one through and see if that won't twist your brain into a knot. But we know the temple's restored, and we know it's the Jewish temple because the Antichrist goes into it, and that causes them to sever the treaty. And then he attacks them, correct? And they flee, and God spares them. They accept Jesus as Messiah, as said here. You will return to the Lord your God and obey his voice. You will return. Right? They can't be the Gentiles because we're not returning. But it can be Israel because they are returning. And Israel knows how to return. Just read the Old Testament. They know how to go and return. They know how to go and return, right? It was an epidemic with them.
Sometimes overnight.
Yeah, a time of distress for Jacob. Okay, go ahead and read Zephaniah. Continue there. Zephaniah 1:15 through 16.
A day of wrath is that day, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet blast and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements.
We know that the Antichrist is going to make war against them, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. The first 3.5 years, he has no reason to make war because they have a treaty. The last 3.5 years, he will make war because he wants to destroy them. We have to understand, they are God's people. And society, culture, nations controlled by the enemy, the principalities and the powers of the air, want to destroy God's people because they cannot destroy God himself. So let's attack those that are the apple of God's eye. Let's attack those that God loves. Let's get to God through his people. And that's what the Antichrist will do. That's what Iran is doing. That's what Russia and China and all of them will do.
So now, in addition to having to rebuild the temple, does Israel also have to reoccupy all of the land?
I don't know.
Is that...
I don't know because there is a certain amount of the land that they do not have that they had under David.
Right.
It's not a whole lot, but there is a certain amount of it. They have right now the vast majority of it. But yes, there is a sweeping up into Lebanon that they've got to get beyond the Golan Heights. I don't know. That's a good question to ask the Lord. When you're in prayer, ask him. When he answers, let me know.
Okay.
The Bible doesn't say. The Bible does say that they will be restored. How much that restoration is, I don't know. We do know that the 1948 treaty does not give them everything they had under David. We do know that. But we don't know whether God will allow them to have that. They do have what they have now, and God is protecting what they have now. Right? So, it's a good question. It's a good question. And the Bible doesn't seem... I looked for that as I was reading through the new Bible that Leah gave me, and now I'm clear into the second book of Corinthians, so I haven't found it yet. But God doesn't seem to come out and say specifically what's going to happen. Not like he says other stuff. Mark 13:19 through 20 and Daniel 9:24 through 27, Xiao Yang.
For in those days there will be such tribulation as has not been from the beginning of creation that God created until now, and never will be. And if the Lord had not cut short the days, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, whom he chose, he shortened the days. 70 weeks are decreed about your people and your holy city, to finish the transgression, to put an end to sin, and to atone for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal both vision and prophet, and to anoint a most holy place.
Okay, hang on there a second, and you'll continue in a minute. What's he talking about in verse 24? Man's restoration. He's talking about the coming of the Messiah, because it was Jesus that finished the transgression, correct? Three words, and he took care of it. It is finished. Done. Gone. Forever. Right? To put an end to sin. Now, we know that sin is not ended yet, right? And we know he won't put an end to sin with the tribulation period. We know that, right? Otherwise, Jerusalem would not be attacked at the end of the millennium. Correct? So sin is still going to exist. Right? To atone for iniquity, Jesus did that to bring in everlasting righteousness. That will happen during the tribulation, during the millennial reign of Christ. But it doesn't happen forever until we get a new earth and a new heaven. Right? To seal both the vision and the prophet, to anoint a most holy place. Now, I want to see that part fulfilled yet. Okay, go on, Xiao Yang.
No, therefore, understand that from the going out of the word to restore and build Jerusalem to the coming of an anointed one, a prince, there shall be 7 weeks. Then for 62 weeks it shall be built again with squares and mold, but not in a troubled time. And after the 62 weeks, an anointed one shall be cut off and shall have nothing. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Its end shall come with a flood, and to the end there shall be war. Desolations are decreed. And he shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week. And for half of the week he shall put an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abomination shall come one who makes desolate, until the decreed end is poured out on the desolator.
So it would seem that the Antichrist is going to sign the treaty for 7 years. It's just that Israel's going to break it at 3.5. It makes sense that the Antichrist, who is the devil incarnate, if God could be incarnate in Christ, then the devil can be incarnate in the Antichrist. Now we know that it's possible for people to be demon-possessed, correct? Right? So it's possible for the devil to possess somebody. Yes, Debbie. Oh, I thought you raised your hand. No. I thought you had a...
Oh, okay.
So he says here, it shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week, 7 years. And for half a week, he shall put an end to sacrifice and offering. So after a half a week, he's going to end all that. And on the wing of abomination shall come one that makes desolate, who makes desolate, until the decree end is poured out on the desolator. We know when that happens, at the end of the tribulation period, God's going to grab him by the nape of the neck and throw him into the lake of fire. So that's going to be the end of him. This is the revelation. Daniel's the one that gives us insight to the time of tribulation. 70 weeks that have been decreed against your people. Who are your people? It's not you and it's not me. It's Israel. Daniel is a book written to the Israelis, to Israel. Daniel's people are the Jews, are the Israelis, the nation of Israel. He's talking about a period of time in which God's purpose is to finish the transgression. 70 weeks are decreed upon your people and your holy city. What city is God's holy city? Jerusalem. Jerusalem, there's no other city on earth that's God's holy city. See? And the purpose is what? To finish the transgression. I want to end sin once and for all. The second part of the purpose is to bring everlasting righteousness. Why to bring everlasting righteousness? Because that's the only way man can truly have peace and be fulfilled. God's justice, not man's justice. Man's justice is a joke in a lot of places, is it not? We're seeing it on display in New York City right now. It's a joke. It's a riot. God declares that 77s will fulfill all these things. The sevens are a group of years. 77s is 490 years. Okay, 490 years. It's unique. Well, you can take the Israeli calendar, and it's unique. This was fulfilled to the day. Jesus died just as Daniel said he would. In Daniel 9:25 and 26, the Messiah is cut off after 70 sevens and 62 sevens, 69 total sevens. From the beginning of the decree to rebuild Jerusalem. When was that? Nehemiah and Ezra. After it was made desolate. Okay? So the Messiah would die 483 years, 69 sevens. After that decree is issued, the Messiah would die. Historians confirm that 483 years passed from the time the decree to rebuild Jerusalem went out to the time when Jesus was crucified. And boy, I'll tell you what, the atheists and the agnostics have a hard time with this one. Especially if they understand the Israeli calendar. Okay? Doesn't matter what their view of eschatology is. They understand Daniel's 70 weeks. It has nothing to do with when the rapture will take place, and I don't give a hoot. Because I'm ready no matter what. Okay? God said that 70 weeks have been determined, 490 years. But with the death of the Messiah, we will have 69 weeks accounted for, 483 years. That means there will be one more seven-year period not accounted for. Amen? So we have an interlude between the 483 and the seventh year period, an interlude, a period of time where God deals with everybody, but primarily with the Gentiles. And don't you thank God he did. Amen? Because that means we're included, glory be to God. This final 7 year period is what we call the tribulation period. The time when God finishes judging Israel and bringing them back to himself. The purpose is bring Israel back to himself. That has been God's purpose from the beginning. From the time Adam partook of the fruit and was kicked out of the Garden of Eden, God's purpose has been, I will restore man to his original purpose. Glory be to God. That's why I like to call it the great restoration. Amen. Yes, Peter.
Well, just to add to what you said about the day as 1,000 years tied into Israel, it says in Hosea, after 2 days he will revive us. Mm-hmm. On the third day he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
2 days, 2,000 years is really what happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the third day is.
Yeah. Yeah. So. When you put it all together, it's magnificent. Not just magnificent, it's glorious. And I get to be included. You get to be included. Kind of makes you want to run and jump and shout. Amen? Yeah. God's going to make this a Pentecostal church before long. Glory be to God. I'm going to have people running and jumping and shouting. Amen. Now, Daniel 9:27 then, and he shall make a strong covenant, gives us highlights into the final week, that 7-year tribulation period. The Antichrist makes the covenant. We know that from the book of Revelation, correct? And for a half a week, which is 3.5 years, he then puts an end to the sacrifice and the offering. Now, Matthew 24:15, so when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand, Jesus said. Take notice and understand. Now, who was he talking to? Who was Jesus talking to in Matthew 24?
Disciples.
Huh?
Disciples.
Yeah. And anybody else who would listen. And who were they?
The Jews.
Yeah, they were Israeli. They weren't Gentiles. Because Matthew is a book written to the Jew. It's not written to the Gentile. It's a gospel to them. Luke is a gospel to you and I. Mark, Matthew, Mark, and John are to them. The Bible is a book of Israel. Right? Any other nation that's included is only included in so much as it's related to Israel and God's plan for Israel. Correct? That's why someone said to me, where's the United States? Do I have anything to do with it? Because it's not. It doesn't have to do with Israel. We are a friend of Israel, and you best thank God. I don't know if you're praying now, but you need to pray. Because we have a president that's putting the entire nation at risk. Mm-hmm. We stop supporting Israel, and we're in trouble.
Bless those who bless you. Yep. Curse those who
I will curse those who curse you. If we want to be included with those that are going to be in those devastations that we'll talk about in the tribulation period, keep on doing what he's doing. Right? Amen. Well, questions? I'm going to stop there because it's a good place to stop. I wanted to finish this tonight. This study isn't, the time isn't long enough. Questions? Yes, Xiao Yang. Good. I'm so glad you're here.
I'm still confused. What's the relationship between the day of the Lord and the second coming of Jesus Christ?
They're in many places of prophecy, they're one and the same. Okay? In many places in prophecy, they're one and the same. You have to take the context in order to know if he's talking about the second coming or if he's talking about some event that he orchestrates on Israel. But it deals with Israel. Doesn't deal with you and I. Deals with Israel. Does that help? No.
A process?
No. Huh?
It's a process?
Like, no. It may be a process or it may be a day. It may be, we do know that the day of the Lord, if it's talking about the tribulation period, is 7 years. But it's not going to take a long time for him to come with the armies of heaven and destroy the Antichrist. That's going to be quick. That's the day of the Lord as well. Right?
Is that when he sets his feet on Mount Olivet?
Yes. Yep. Splits it asunder. Destroys the Antichrist with the brightness of his coming. Yep. I asked myself the question one time. We know he destroys the Antichrist and the false prophet then, but he doesn't deal with all of the Antichrist's army then. And I said to myself, can only be one reason, his mercy and his grace. Because remember, the entire army, an army that nobody can number, is amassed against Israel and against Jerusalem. And he destroys the Antichrist. And he destroys the army, wins the battle. But the only two are cast into the lake of fire, the Antichrist and the false prophet.
Okay.
The rest get cast in after the great white throne judgment at the end of the millennial reign of Christ.
Well, yeah, but doesn't it say that the like the blood will run as...
Yes. Thick yeah. As many are going to die. Many are going to die.
They're going to come out on the good end of that.
Yeah, yeah. Because we come back on horses.
Yeah.
Yeah? What's that?
Don't like horses.
Huh?
Come back on a bike.
Oh, you're going to come back on a Harley? Well, they do call them a hog, but I don't see where he says we're coming back on pigs.
Hell no.
But, you know, when I was in Israel, I went and one of our tours was to see the Valley of Armageddon.
Yeah.
And it's just a massive plain.
Yes.
It's just flat.
Yes.
It's gorgeous. It's
yeah.
green and everything. So if you can imagine that the blood will be flowing up to the bridle of the horses
yep.
now, that's a lot.
A lot of people die.
Isn't it 200 million?
We don't know, but it's a lot. It's a lot. I don't know if he ever gives us a number, Peter. If you find it, let me know. But it's a lot. You know, pray that God give me $1 million, and then we'll all go to Israel. I'll take you all to Israel if God gives me $1 million. You're not going to fly.
I don't fly.
You're not
going to...
Oh, you
want to...
You want to go on a ship? We'll go on a ship. I got $1 million.
Stuff going on with the planes now.
We'll go on a ship because I got $1 million. Yeah. Or...
You'll go to heaven. Don't worry about it.
Or we can charter the plane, so therefore we get to select one that was made back when they were doing them right.
That sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Revelation 9:16.
It says what?
Your army had 200 million soldiers on horses. I heard them. So
yeah, they yeah, were. Yeah. You think they all die, Peter?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, they all die then.
Sure.
Yeah. Huh?
Did he say?
He doesn't say they all die.
Oh.
He just says that's the number there was. So I've never...
I assume he's going to kill them all.
I do know that in some battles there's some that escape because they turn and run. Right? So I don't know. But 200 million is okay.
Where are they going to run to?
Yeah. You don't. You ought to see what happens in an earthquake. People run. Well, where are you going to run to?
Yeah, where are you going?
Yeah, or a tornado. People run when there's a tornado. Yeah, yeah. Where are you going to run to?
It's okay if you're running in the basement, but.
Yeah. Would you do me a favor, Rich? Turn on the big light and the light outside on the corners that's in the foyer. Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, we can say, nobody can say that 200 million don't die, and nobody can say that exactly 200 million die. But we can say that the army had 200 million in the army.
True.
Now we can say that for a fact. But praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to be part of that. Mm-mm. I'm out of here.
By the way, I don't know if you know. A couple of weeks ago, they had, I don't know if it was on the internet or whatever, that a numerologist had determined that yesterday was when the rapture was going to occur.
They've been doing that forever.
Yeah.
They've been doing that forever.
Wrong.
Yeah. And what was her name when she was alive? Peter. What was her name? Peter. What was her name when she was alive? Oh, Jean Dixon. Oh, she always told us when the world was going to end.
Yeah.
Right? And she ended the world. They've been putting dates on the rapture forever. And the Lord tells them, you're stupid for doing it because no man knows the day or the hour. So it's kind of stupid to do it. You know? But people do stupid things all the time.
Well, you can tell by the prophets that we're looking for them already. You know, they were already starting to predict the day and time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. That's why the Lord said what? Watch and be ready.
Watch and pray.
Yeah. Watch and be ready because that's the only way you're going to know. Okay. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let me turn this off. I had more requests that came in, so I wanted to get it up here on my phone. Did that help, Xiao Ying?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry, Xiao Ying. I'm sorry.